It's 7 o'clock. Good evening. Welcome everyone to the Simple Actions group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Morgan and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey Morgan.
Hello everybody. Just some housekeeping. We will be recording and publishing the audio only portion of this meeting. You can sign up for email or listen to previously recorded meetings on our website at simpleactions.net. For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the serenity. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and somebody will chat with you. Anybody in their first 30 days? All right. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA Simple Actions. It's the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we will be discussing steps 8 and 9, part 1. Please welcome our panel this evening. We have Brody and Meredith. All right, so I'm going to kick it off by reading the first paragraph on page 76, and then the panel will share for a few minutes on each reading. All right, page 76. Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. Brody.
My name is Brody and I am an alcoholic.
Brody.
My sobriety date is February 13th, 2019. My home group is the Nemo Parkway group. We meet Thursdays at 7:30 on Nemo Parkway. And I have a sponsor. He knows he's my sponsor. I call him every day. And I'm very grateful to be here tonight. And before I talk about the reading, you know, when I got to AA, I did not want any part of this. I was an alcoholic without a solution because alcohol had stopped working for me. And I had reached that jumping off place that the book talks about. I could not imagine life with or without alcohol. And I was blessed, I see it now, blessed with the gift of desperation. You know, enough desperation to ask another man for help and to show me how he was staying sober, happily sober, because that was something that I could not wrap my head around when I got here. And, you know, through taking the simple actions that are outlined in this book, I've come to understand more and more about how to live on a spiritual basis and how to live happy, joyous, and free. And so a huge part of that is steps 8 and 9. And my sponsor told me, he said, the two steps that get the biggest results are steps 5 and 9, because they involve other people. And that's been my experience, you know, taking step 5 with my sponsor and just feeling, sharing stuff I had never shared with anyone before, and getting it all out there in the open was a very freeing experience. And that sets me up so clearly, as it says here, for steps 8 and 9. You know, they say, we have made a list of all the persons we have harmed when we took our inventory in step 4. And I'm so grateful for how easy, well, how simple it's laid out here, because it certainly wasn't easy for me. I took a good amount of time to do my fourth step. I mean, I think it was a good amount of time. And my sponsor, he would constantly say, how's that fourth step coming? How's that fourth step coming? And I needed that. I needed to be prodded, because I didn't want to do this stuff, you know? And because it's drastic. It says it here. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. I am, as an alcoholic, I am a little lazy. And I don't want to do this work that's outlined here. But all throughout the book, it constantly says, now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. You know, it's laid out all throughout the big book that this is a program of action. And it was drilled home with me in my early sobriety. It's like AA is a program, not for people who want it, not for people who need it. It's a program for people who do it. And I had that constant reminder all throughout, from my sponsor, all throughout steps 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And it's, so here I am with this list. I've already talked to my sponsor about it in my fifth step. And now in my eighth step, all I'm doing is making sure I didn't leave anybody off. You know, I harmed a lot of people when I was drinking, and I've gotten I probably had to add a couple to my eighth step list that were not on my fourth step list. And then I take that list to my sponsor and I say, okay, here's everyone I need to make amends to. And then I go do it with another person's guidance who has already done it. That was, you know, I hear the horror stories all the time of people going out and making amends without a sponsor, and how well that ends up for people. luckily, that's not my experience. I did it. I let him tell me exactly what to do, because I didn't want to mess anything up. And just this last little sentence, if we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. And you know, I even have to remind myself of that today when I find myself not wanting to do things. It's like, any lengths means any lengths. That means doing the uncomfortable stuff that I don't want to do. It means going out of my way to reach out to people and to clean up the wreckage of my past. So that's all I've got on that paragraph. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank
you, Brody. Hi, I'm Meredith. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Meredith.
I'm super excited and super nervous at the same time. So I have a home group. It meets Sundays at 5:30. It's the Big Book of Chesapeake at Agape Ministries on Vintage Boulevard. My sobriety date is December 27, 2015. So I have some time, but you know, every day is 24 hours for us, I guess. And I have a sponsor, and she knows that she's my sponsor, and I have a grand sponsor, and I even talk to her once in a while as well. I like that. Brody took most of my stuff Thanks, man. You know? I appreciate that. So I say December 27th is my sobriety date, but I had my God moment, my epiphany on December 25th, which was Christmas, when at that time my ex-husband gave me 2 bottles of wine for Christmas. Little did he remember, like a year ago, he took me to rehab. So yeah, I still am like, you know, really? So I remember sitting there on the couch watching the kids open up the present. He gives me my presents and there are 2 bottles of wine. And I'm like, and I hold them up and I'm like, don't you know I'm an alcoholic? And that's when I was like, well, I was like, I gotta change. A little backstory is that I entered rehab in the September of 2014 through the Navy. So I'll try to keep the Navy jargon down, but they have a profound effect on my life the last 15 years, and they've saved my life numerous times over. And actually, they were on my 4th step as well. the company that almost killed me saved me a couple of times too. So it's irony there as well. So that's just a small little backstory about me. And just, you know, dipping into the 4th and 5th step, I mean, yeah, it took me a while to write my 4th step because, you know, I wanted to be perfect. I want to make sure I got everything down. And I remember my sponsor telling me, it's like, just get it down. Let's do this. Just get it down. And, you know, it's going to be a program of action. I mean, we're just going to do it. You're going to be doing it for the rest of your life. So let's just get it down. So I got down what I thought, you know, would be everything. It wasn't. But I think typical woman, I love to talk. So I was like, and this and that. And she's like, nope. And then we just went through it real quick and we got through it. And then we come to step 8 and 9. And now we gotta apply what we did wrong and make it right. Unfortunately, there are some people on my list that I physically can't make right or tell them that I'm sorry, because they are no longer with me in this world. But I know for a fact that she's very proud of me and she would want what's best for me. So every day I try to reach out to her and say, what do you want me to do today to make amends to you and what I have done wrong to you, to that one person? Of course, she's my mom, you know how parents can. But that doesn't mean I stop just because she's not physically here. I keep doing it. I keep making her proud of me in a way that I can. And by doing that, I will make a constant amends to my children, a working amends to my children who I have harmed, especially my oldest. He's a huge part of my program. My oldest is now 18. So he started this journey with me when he was 10. And he's a big part of my story, and I'll just love him to pieces. Just got to throw that out there. I'm kind of getting off topic here. Okay. So 8 and 9, we're going to take a look at the persons we have harmed and who we're making amends to. This is a program of action. We've made inventory. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage that is done in the past. Yeah. We attempt to sweep away the debris with such a cumulative out of effect of our lives as self-will, and we run our own show. I have some notes in my book, and it says here, you know, with 8 and 9 comes good judgment, a careful sense of courage, and prudence. I think timing is also very important when it comes to 8 and 9 as well. I don't want to go too into it because we have 6 other paragraphs to go into, but I'm going to lead with that timing. Okay, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you both. All right. Our next reading is also on page 76. Probably there are still some misgivings. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order. But this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. Why lay ourselves being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message. But our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries.
Probably there are still some misgivings. That was definitely true for me. My the first time I made amends, my sponsor told me, he said, we're going to put a one next to all of the amends you're ready to go out and make right now. And then we're going to put a two by all the ones that you still have some misgivings about. And then we're going to put a three by all the ones that you're never going to make. And he said, you'll find that as you make the ones, the twos become ones. And as you make those, the threes will become twos. And I've found that as I take action, I do tend to get more willingness to take action. And, you know, I love what Meredith said about timing. It's like some of these folks are still mad at me, you know, and I'm going to go and tell them I've found Jesus and I'm going to make all this stuff right. And, you know, it says that's like leading with the chin. You know, I'm just, waiting to get knocked out. And that's not being, that's not fitting ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. If I'm out there still upsetting people and still harming people with my actions and my words, then I cannot be of service to them. And so that whole idea about timing and about good judgment and I can't find the word I want, but it's very pertinent to this part of the program. And for me, an alcoholic who was less than 6 months sober, I don't have those things. So I needed a sponsor to walk me through all of that. And I mean, he even wrote like an outline for me to follow. And I needed that because this was something brand new to me. I had never made amends. I had never tried to fix anything. I would just cut you out of my life, you know. It's much easier. And so this was all, I had no muscle memory. I had no practice. This was something completely foreign to me. And, you know, my sponsor encouraged me, go to your family first, go to the people who are closest to you and will understand the most. You know, I think I made my sister and my mom made those amends first. And, you know, I could be open with them about, you know, the religious part of it and the spiritual part of it. And, you know, having that guidance from another person to say, okay, talk about this with them and don't talk about this with them, or don't even go to see them yet. You know, all of that was crucial for me in not continuing to cause harm and not continuing to run on self-will and mess things up. So, yeah, and it just says, our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. And really that's all we're there to do. If more comes of it, then that's great. And a lot of times it did. And sometimes it was, I'm glad you came. Now I don't want to see you. And that's great too. You know, because I did what I needed to do to clear that wreckage on my side of the street. So Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. I like the very last sentence. Is he going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill? Demonstration. Action of goodwill than our talk of spiritual discoveries. Mm. I have this one friend, God bless her. She's my bestie. I've known her since 1980s. And I went to her bar mitzvah. So she had some spiritual background. She had some religious background. And I'm the Catholic. So it's really great. You know, a Jew and a Catholic get together and go to a bar. Who's the alcoholic? But I love her. But you talk about God and you just see the like I have to make amends. You know, I've been making amends to her, but you talk about God and she'll just glaze over. She's done. She doesn't want to hear anything about it. And that's fine. And that's fine. That's her. So I have to demonstrate in other ways to show her how much she's mean to me, how much I've hurt her and harmed her. And I want to take care. Well, I don't want to take care of her, but I want her to know that I'm here for her when she needs me. So I have in the little side notes is, how can I be a service to you? How can I help you? How can I serve you? Sometimes you don't even have to talk about any spiritual jargon, you know, of when you're talking about making amends. You can just say to that person, that place or that thing, how can I better serve you? And I've said that to the Navy too. And I'm bringing back the Navy because, like I said, I have to make amends because part of the action is, you know, person, places, and things. And it's important to know that. How can I be a better sailor in the Navy was one of my turning points as well. So the key word here in my talk is demonstration, because I feel at this point in my journey in AA is that everyone's tired of my talk and my bullshit. How many times did I say, I'll quit drinking this time when we're huggling the toilet or, you know, we're on that bathroom mat, just praying to the porcelain God, God help me, you know, save me from this. I won't drink again. Next thing you know, less than 24 hours later, we got a beer or a whiskey in our hand and we're drinking. How many times did we tell a family member that we're not going to drink and drive after we just buried something and we're drinking and, you know, or you get it. I don't have to do it. I mean, at this point, I mean, it's years of talk. We have to start demonstrating our actions. We have to start being a better service to our friends and family and our institutions, in this case, the United States Navy, in my journey. I also am reminded that the God that I grew up with in my background is not necessarily the God that is my higher power, my understanding, my spirit of the universe, the light of my life. It can be different. And I do tell my sponsees that because they are so wrapped around, well, I grew up Baptist or I grew up a Jew or I grew up like this. And I'm like, but it's not the same spirit of the universe. Make it something your own if you have to, just to, you know, kind of get you over this hump because you're bringing religion into it. I don't want to go that far because right now we're doing 8 and 9. So let's bring it back. But we just, like I said, we have to demonstrate of goodwill and in our talk of then talking of spiritual discovery. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Our next reading is on page 77. We don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. When it will serve a good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense. The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise. It may be he has done us more harm than we have done him. And though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we are still not too keen about admitting our faults. Nevertheless, with the person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit. confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret. Brody.
Oh yeah. Good stuff.
So I think that first little part of it, you know, tact and common sense, that's really some of what we touched on in the last paragraph. And it's all about who you're going to see and what the relationship is. And like I said, there's some people that I felt very comfortable talking to about the spiritual side of this thing with. And then there were others where I'm just here to right my wrong with you. I don't need to get in depth about what's going on. I need to do this to get over alcohol. What can I do to make it right? You know, that kind of thing. And then it's, you know, those are the people, some of those were the people that, you know, I didn't want to make amends to them because they wronged me more than I wronged them. You know, that whole idea, it's like, I'm the one they should be making amends to, you know? And, I was told by my sponsor that that's not how this works. again, it's all about cleaning up my side of the street. You know, it takes two people to have, you know, be in a relationship, friendship, businessship, or whatever. You know, I've got a role to play. And that was the whole point of doing four, was figuring out what that was. And now that I've got that and I've told another person about it, I have to go make that right. And it talks about, you know, in the fourth step, in the fourth column, our faults, where we were wrong, leaving the other man out of it, you know, his faults. And, you know, even today, I'm really good at taking other people's inventories. I'm really good at finding faults in others. And then when it's time to admit that I was wrong, that is like soul crushing to me. It's like, and then to go to someone who I dislike and admit that I was wrong, that's even harder. But it says that that is going to be more beneficial to me than going to those easy amends, than going and making those amends to my family or my, you know, my best friends, or, you know, whatever. It's the people who I've got conflict with and the people who I don't want to ever see again. Those are the ones that are going to be most beneficial to me. And, you know, I had to do a lot of prayer and asking for the willingness to go make some of those amends. And they all turned out fine. You know, that was my experience. I know that's not everyone's experience, but all of those amends that I was putting off and didn't want to make for whatever reason turned out fine. And I have, you know, decent relationships with all those people today. And that's a gift of the program. And I no longer have to hold on to those resentments and those fears about those people. And that's a beautiful thing. So thank you for letting me share.
So I'm newly sober, about 6-7 months, and I'm a firecracker. Like, I don't know how to talk to people. I don't know how to look at people. Because alcohol has been my subduer, like my chill pill, you know? So I'm 6-7 months into this program, and I find myself at Captain's Mast. If you don't know what Captain's Mast is, it's not good. You're standing in your dress uniform in front of your CO and you're in big trouble. And all I can, and moments leading up to, this is me making my amends to the Navy. The moments leading up to my Captain's Mast were rightly just, because all I kept saying is, don't they know I am sober? Don't they know I'm sober? It's like, I'm sober now. You got to leave me alone. I curse there in case you didn't, you know, I know, you gotta leave me alone. No, that's not how it works. And I ended up getting in front of my CO, Captain's Mast, for unbecoming of a petty officer. And I got extra military instruction, or EMI, which is basically, I can't really talk about it, but I can't tell you what the Navy do. Let's just say it wasn't pretty. And it was work after pulling in a 10 to 12 hours, it was more work on top of that after that. And I'm grateful for that EMI, those extra military instruction, because that's when I had my like second epiphany. I was scraping gum. I don't know if some of you heard my story. I was scraping gum off the floor in the P-way and on the stairwell. And as I was scraping the floor, I'm just like, this is ridiculous. Why am I here? Don't they know? Don't they know I'm sober? Don't, you know, it's like, it's crazy. And all my petty officers, all my chiefs, all the officers were in this was a very highly active P-way. So everyone was coming through it. Some of them wouldn't look at me. Some of them looked at me with disgust. And then there was one particular petty officer, and he was just, you know, he just tapped his chin. He's like, keep your chin up, you know, you got this. I was like, you're right. And then it wasn't until then where I had my change, where it was like, I had God spoke to me and he said, who do you think you are, is what he said to me that in that P-way while I'm scraping gum off the floor. And I'm just like, you're right. I'm not saying I'm nobody, because I am somebody, but I'm like, who do you think you are? I'm getting just chills thinking about it. And once I had that, you know, psychic shift, I knew that, you know, it was, I have to have the courage to change. And then I have to go to my enemy and make amends to my enemy. And that enemy at that time was the Navy. And sure, as soon as I had, hand to God, about 6 months later, I ended up with a national medal. The guy's like, yeah, pretty impressive. the guy in the corner over there. I ended up with the NAM, which is a Navy Achievement Medal. So in the same year, I had a captain's mass where they were going to kick me out of the Navy because I would have gotten busted down and then kicked out for higher tenure. But at the end of the month in December, I was giving a Navy commendation, and it all happened in a stairwell of my psychic change. And I love to tell that story because that's important, because that was my action. So every day for the next 3 months for that EMI, I gave 110%. I shut my mouth. I did what I had to do. And I made amends to the Navy on that in those months. And I'm still with the Navy. I'm very grateful for that. I really like the end paragraph. It is harder to go to the enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him with a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill will and ill feeling and expressing our regret. I know that's talk, but we have to demonstrate the actions. You have to find a way. I had to find a way to demonstrate my actions to be a better sailor. And then of course I do that with my sponsors, and I do that my sponsors, the people that
thank you. Right. Next reading is also on page 77. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street. Realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do, never trying to tell him what his faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own faults. So feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemies sometimes praise what we are doing and wish us well. Occasionally, they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. We have made our demonstration, done our part. It is water over the dam. Brody.
I have under no condition underlined. That is my go-to. Criticizing and arguing. I'm like, I might be wrong, but you're wronger. that is my go-to. And it was very difficult to go to someone and more than say I'm sorry, to say I was wrong. You know, that was, again, never had I tried to do that before, before, you know, making amends. And, you know, that's why the steps are in order. I got a little bit of humility and a little bit of willingness by taking the other steps to be able to go to these people and to be able to go in a way that would be helpful. But it's just, it's all very clear. Simply, we tell him we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing nothing can be accomplished until we do so. Again, I have never underlined trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. And then there's this little promise here. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, yeah, we will be gratified with the result. And that was my experience. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. All of my amends went well. I did not have any that were big drag out fights or somebody told me to, you know, F off or anything like that. That was not my experience. I know it happens. But I had a very good experience with my amends. And, you know, it says down there at the end of what we read, it should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. We have made our demonstration, done our part. And, you know, that's true. I was telling my sponsee, it's like, it doesn't matter how your, you know, amends takes it. It matters that you made the amends, you know, because the book tells us we're not going to get over drinking if we don't do our utmost to straighten out the past. That's on us. That's not on how they take the amends. That's on us taking the action. And I'm glad that it doesn't matter how they react, you know, it's contingent on how I act and where I am when I make the amends. And there's that word again, demonstration.
Don't steal it. Don't steal it. You steal it, people. Sorry, I don't mean to do that.
I just underlined that one too.
It's okay. You can have it.
It's just, this book is
so awesome.
So clear. And it's constantly throwing these things out. It's like, well, maybe he'll see it this way. Maybe he'll see it this way. Because I need that. I need it to tell me the same thing in 10 different ways. You know, it's a simple spiritual program of action. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. Sure. I always find it beneficial, just throwing it out there. I mean, this is chapter 6, Into Action. And I know when we do confront a person, place, or thing, I always find it beneficial to, one, write it down. Like, again, on how to say it to make sure that I get my point across. See, I don't want to call it a point across, but to share my experience of how I harmed you and to pause. Because, you know, Brody touched upon it. If this person wants to throw us out of his office or punch us in the face or, you know, give us the middle finger and walk away, we have to be willing to accept that. Mm-hmm. We have to be willing to accept that. And that can be a hard pill to swallow, especially when we feel we've done this person, place, or thing really wrong. But if they don't want anything to do with us, then you have to accept that. I have to accept that. And that's my part. And once that is done, it's watered over the dam. The pausing thing is something I'm still working on. I'm getting better in the last 7.5 years, but it's still there because I'm still very defensive, you know, and that could lead to a lot of other discord. when I'm trying to make amends to the person. But, you know, he Brody stole my demonstration. I mean, Jesus. I can't say enough. 8 and 9 are into action, and we have to demonstrate it. We have to walk that AA. We have to be on that beam. We are allowed to fall off because we're not perfect human beings, but we have to get back on. I have to get back on. I have to study. I have to get back on that beam and go my course. So I can prove to this person. And then maybe in a couple of years, maybe in a month, maybe in a year or two, maybe that person wants to come back and we can talk about it, that amends. And I mentioned earlier, you know, I can't make amends to my mother because, you know, she, little tidbit is actually I went to rehab 2 weeks after her funeral. So funny how that goes, right? Yeah, God's so funny. But I know that I have to demonstrate my actions on that AA beam, and 7 and 8 is clearly laid out here. And this is just a, like Brody said, it's just a great book, and it's a great, I can't, that's all I got.
Thank you. All right. The next reading is going to be on page 78. Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we are trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them.
Most alcoholics owe money. I think all alcoholics owe money. I know I did. Yeah, I mean, it's just touches on honesty and frank and open conversation. Like, you know, it talked about in the last reading, and we will be gratified with the result. I know the people that I owed money to were very willing to work with me. And even the institutions I owed money to were very willing to work with me. And so that was great. And I learned a lot from that. You know, I don't borrow money. You know, that's not something that I want in my life if I can avoid it. And this right at the end, it says, we must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, any lengths, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. Again, it's just another reminder of the life and death errand that we're on here. You know, if I don't make my amends, if I allow myself to get wrapped up in resentment or get wrapped up in fear, even today, you know, I'm liable to regress and maybe even drink. And it's like, this is not stuff that I can put off. This is stuff that I have to deal with. So that's all I've got on that one.
Thanks. Thank you. I had to change my thinking about money. I had to switch my brain to another version. I guess when I was drinking, my dad would tell me, there's two things you don't talk about when you're in a bar. That's money and religion. And or you can say sex and religion too, but maybe they're the same. But it's hard. It's hard. It really, it's still now it's hard to talk about money. And I'm sober, but I had to change my thinking about my money, because it's not my money. It's God's money. God gave it to me. Yes, I do my 40 hours. I'm blessed to have a job that gives me money, but it's God's money. And I have to remind myself. I also have to remind myself that it's my son's money as well. So I told you I had two sons. I also have my sober baby. I had him in May of 15. So another tidbit, I found out I was pregnant while I was in rehab. Good stuff. You really didn't want to talk about it. I'll take a cup of coffee any day. But I had my second one, my second son in May of 15, and he ended up being living with his father. So his father has primary care. We have joint custody. And I have to write a check out to my ex-husband every month for child support. And let me tell you, that was a bitter pill to swallow, because I'm just like, this is my money. Why does he get it? And it was my sponsor that says, it's not your money. It's James's money. James did that. It's James's money. It's his daycare money. It's his food. It's his clothes. It's not for you. And it's not, it wasn't given to you by you. It was given to you. God gave you the money to give to your son. You have that money to give to your ex who's caring for your son. And it's true, because I was at a point in my career with the Navy where I was leaving shore duty and going to sea duty. And if you're a sailor or any part of the branch, you understand that a sea duty is very taxing. There's very long hours, and 24 hours is the norm, doing watches and everything. So we felt that it was, he was the better suited parent. Well, I have to pay child support. So now I'm happy. And now I call Robert. Oh, sorry. That's my, I said, hey, did you get the money? If not, you know, let me know. And then cause I'm happy to give it to him now. I'm happy to give it to him because it's not my money. So I have to change my thinking when it comes to money. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks.
All right. Good time in here to finish the last reading. Yeah. We'll do the last one. Each of y'all do about a minute or so each. Last one's on page 79. Although these reparations take innumerable forms, there are some general principles which we find guiding. Reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience, we ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at any.
Well, great paragraph. Yeah. Although these reparations take innumerable forms, I was taught that when I make amends, I tell the person why I was, what I did wrong, and then I ask them what I can do to make it right. That could be anything. I mean, that's why it could take innumerable forms, you know, and a lot of it has been living amends. And even, you know, today when I make amends, it's like, just don't do that again. That's what a lot of people say. And it's like, they appreciate that we can come to them and then they say, don't do that again. And reminding ourselves that we've decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience. It's like, even if I don't like what they say, I should probably do it to make that right. And that's why I ask for strength and direction to do the right thing. I mean, I just can't say enough about how clear this book has become for me and how grateful I am for the simple instructions that are laid out here. We must not shrink at anything. And it's, I have to ask God every day, you know, and that's what this book has taught me. It's like every day is a new day that I need to be on a solid spiritual foundation so that I can meet these, so that I can do what this book is asking me. And when I slip, it's like my life regresses. I get restless, irritable, and discontented when I'm not taking these actions. So that's all I've got on that.
I have this whole paragraph highlighted. So it's just an awesome book. It's just the awesome way of life. It really is. I can't tell you how many times my sponsor would say, Meredith, you said you're willing to go to any lengths. And I just want to like punch her through the phone. Because she's right. We have to go to any lengths to make what we did wrong right. and it's going to be uncomfortable. Sometimes we're going to have to sit on our hands. Oh, a big one I learned. Oh, it's so important. Sometimes doing nothing is something, because we always feel like we got to, you know, we make a list, right? A, B, C, D, got to do. No, sometimes doing nothing is something. We have to pause, reflect on it, and ask a couple of people, hey, what do you think about this? You know? And then we will find our spiritual guidance through that as well. We do the right thing. We ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing. I'll tell you that offline. But my thing is, if you have to question, is this the right thing? Then you need to be calling somebody. You need to be calling your sponsor. You need to be calling a friend in the program, or who knows, maybe your financial advisor, maybe your divorce attorney or something, because they're professionals. They're just as important in our recovery as going to our sponsor, you know, having these professionals in our lives to guide us, to make the right direct, you know, to guide us in the right direction in this spiritual amends we're making to the fellows we've harmed. And I know, but we are willing, we have to be, we must not shrink at anything. You know, to shrink is to die. And now we're basking in the sunlight of the spirit with his strength and love and her strength and love. We can only grow in this program. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's everybody thank our speakers tonight. Thank you both so much.
This might be a field day. Dodgeball, related race 0.37. We are suggested $10 donation. It could be raffle. We mentioned something about having people get ice stuff out. So we got that going on. Also, we can use people. We could use some help. You know, share position by some name member. You know, it's members at large. With that day beforehand, about one or two, we will be having our board meeting. So if anyone would like to kind of see what we're about, maybe think about joining, come out. I have the flyer and the address letter thing. So if you want to know about that, come see me. Also, we're looking for speakers for our, you know, panels and for possibly main speaker for each day we're having it.
For the conference.
Yes. Thank you, John. So I have a flyer for that where you can send it to emails. If you guys want to know about that, can see me about that. And that's all I got.
Thank you.
No. Our very own David.
Alcoholic David.
Hey, David.
This home group, Simple Actions, has an event coming up in June. That's a little ways off, but I just want to call your attention to that table over there. There's some lovely sky blue flyers over there. If you would take two or three of those with you on your way out and take them back to your home group, we would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or are in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Will all home group members please raise their hands? Strong. Point out that literature is available. I'm pointing out that literature is available right there to my left, your right, on that table. If you need a book, please see a home group member. It's free if you can fold it. Sponsorship questions. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available right here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. If you're shy, you can always send an email to info@simpleactions.net. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided and outside and stay well away from the church doors. Mm-hmm. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Meeting after the meeting. All are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Cafe Stella, Colonial Avenue, right next to Kogan. And in closing, let's thank the panel again. Thanks to all who participated. After the one, we'll have a chance to say thank you to our speakers right up here. Please, you're encouraged. Come thank our speakers after the meeting. And David's been voluntold to read the last two paragraphs on page.
Alcoholic David.
Hey, David.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only a little. We disclose more. The answer house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you.
Thank you.
I always like abandoning yourself.
We have a nice way of closing.
Give a cold do, but for the new year.
Someone is telling me that it doesn't say. Look at this. We might actually be able to make a circle with this many people. Nice. We're done with amoebas here. We're in a circle mode. Love it. All right.
Nice. Okay, circle.
Quick moment of silence, followed by our Father.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good to see you guys.
So good to be with you guys. Thank you again for hosting this meeting. Have a day.